cost, then BritNet American Produce Records is for you. Updated in real time and available on demand at BritNet.com/APR and optimized for tablet and mobile. The APR Online is the place for instant access to a wealth of information on North American thoroughbreds dating back more than a century. The annual price, $275. Visit BritNet.com/APR and discover why American Produce Records has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations and why a new generation is using APR Online.
Bill Oppenheim writing in the December 24 edition of the Thoroughbred Daily News about bargain sires, rights of Izstan. If you're looking in the $7,500 range, Izstan is your man. Well said. Think about this. No other major stallion in North America comes close to matching Izstan's 2014 percentage of graded stakes winners from runners. None. Not even close. A trainer friend remarked to me the other day, they can all run. Izstan's most recent stakes winner is Turkish, winner of the grade $350,000 valedictory stakes. He was preceded by Mr. Bowling, winner of four stakes, including the grade three LeComp. Izstan Ford, winner of the grade two San Clemente, grade three Arlington Classic, winner, also won that Izstan Ford beat Colts in the Arlington Classic. And Del Mar Sandy Blue Handicap won that one too. Albano, winner of the grade three Pegasus stakes in the Super Bowl Handicap. Antigun has placed in the grade one Belmont and four more stakes, three graded. Myositis Dan is graded stakes placed at Church Downs, Young and Lovely at the Fairgrounds, Northern Iowa and California. All that from just 66 foals in his first three crops. Grade one winner is Stan by Sire's Gone West, stands at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. And, incidentally, so does Majestic Perfection, sire of a winner of the $100,000 Fred Cappy Capasola handicap at Aqueduct yesterday. That would be Majestic Affair, bred by Doug Oliver. He is one of 22-year-old winners from the first crop, sired by Majestic Perfection, who, like his stand, stands at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdrestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Well, good morning, everyone, and we are here at the Thoroughbred Center with a muddy track today, and it's kind of a moderate temperature. Michael Blowen from the old friends is with me. And I see Dr. Brian Aldridge walking up. He's coming up behind you, Michael.
I can see him.
Yeah, okay.
I can see him.
He's sneaking up on us. Jackie will be here. Jackie and I are both recovering from bad colds. Good morning, Doc. Good morning. You look good since you shaved. I'm just jealous because I can't grow a beard.
That's what Mrs. Waldridge said as well.
Hey, you're going to have to put a hat on, Michael. That glare is getting to me.
I guess the cold hasn't destroyed his fabulous sense of humor.
Well, I feel better today, that's why. I tell you, it's been kind of rough for the last week.
Well, I'm glad you're feeling better.
Well, thank you, me too.
Yeah,
Jackie and I got it at the same time. It's her fault.
Of course it is.
Yeah, who else?
If she was here, you wouldn't be saying that. She's not here.
We'll change the subject real quick. Here she comes. There
you go. We got warned. Our early warning system is working.
Yeah. Well, Michael was here earlier this morning. Either Diane kicked him out of bed or he claims he had to get a haircut.
Well, I think the evidence is clear.
Well,
so is the skull.
To which I referred.
Yeah, right. But gee, I can't believe you two spend money going to the...
I love going to the barbershop.
Where do you go?
I go to Steve's Barbershop in Versailles.
Steve's Barbershop in Versailles. Mm-hmm. They must have a bookie in there or something.
No, they just have a lot of nice people. They have great UK memorabilia all over the place. Sports stuff from previous years and basketballs and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, really?
They're really nice people. They give a nice haircut, and I always enjoy myself there.
Oh, okay.
So it's more of a social thing. I mean, obviously, it doesn't take a great tonsorial artist to cut my hair.
That's for sure. Jackie does mine,
but the company is fabulous.
Yeah, okay.
And that's why you get Jackie cut your hair, because the company's fabulous.
No, I do it because I'm cheap. Let's be honest about it.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is probably you've already learn too much about haircuts.
Yeah, well, I ran into Bobby Copeland one day, you know, and he's in about the same condition that you and I are.
Yeah.
And we were standing there talking in the Paris Library. I mean, not the library. It was the
Heaven forbid you should ever be in the library.
The post office.
Almost fell down.
Anyway, the post office. And we were standing there talking. He said, well, I got to go get a haircut. And I said, you got to be kidding, you know. Jackie cuts mine with, you know, the little mane that you trim, those little clippers. Wait a minute. You going to talk, Jackie? You can have mine.
No.
Okay. Well, I got to shut her up or give her a microphone, one or the other.
I get Diane to get me some dog clippers.
Well, no, sit still, Jackie. When we get Doc on, I want you to pester him. Then I'll let you have the microphone. How's that?
Yeah. You can have mine. We had lots of people on tours yesterday. There were people from France, Germany, really? Italy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. I mean, you wouldn't think with the weather, and it's not that good. You know, but it was really nice.
God, why would you leave Italy in this kind of weather, you know, to come
maybe
here?
Maybe they have other reasons besides weather.
I guess. Well, there's a horse sales coming up.
Mm-hmm.
But they wouldn't get here this early, would they?
I don't know.
Another week for the sales. Right, Doc? Hell, he doesn't know.
Pretty early in January, that sale. Can't remember.
We're not buying. We're not selling.
7-3 at the...
We're just retiring.
I think it starts on the 12th, 11th or 12th, the January sale out of Keeneland. I believe it does,
It's close.
Not this week, but next week.
Next Saturday is the Stallion Auction for the Thoroughbred Charities of America.
Oh, yeah.
That should be fun. That's always a good time.
Yeah. You going to it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you have to. That's where you get a lot of money out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's fun, too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really interesting people there. And, you know, Toba's there and the Blood Wars and the TCA. And
I'd go, but
they have some good stuff.
We can't afford it.
Yeah. Huh?
Said I'd go, but we can't afford it.
I can't afford it either. I beg for tickets. I find somebody. So at this time,
goes without saying.
Daily Racing Force paid for my seat.
Is it? I need hustle somebody.
No, they just, I told them I'd bring 5 jokes to the table.
No,
in exchange for the tickets. I'm working on them.
You working on the jokes?
Yeah. And then we got the Eclipse ballots going out. I think they're due in tomorrow for the horses and all that. So that'll be fun.
Oh, okay. Let me do a break here and then give me your selections.
Okay.
And I'll argue with you.
Okay, good. That'll be fun.
Doc, you got your selections yet?
Oh, I thought I'd just be the moderator while you two argued.
Okay. You're not going to get in the middle of that.
Oh, no. I'm sitting and enjoy.
Okay. Well, Stroll side a champion 2-year-old filly and a graded stakes winner Keeneland before being sent to Europe for stud duties. Back in Kentucky, he picked up right where he left off. Sister's Roll has won the 2014 renewal of the Grade 3 Pucker Up and placed in the Grade 1 Queen Elizabeth II Challenge Cup. Skylander Girl has won a place in 7 stakes. Extra Sexy Hipster has won stakes
at... That's named after you?
I won't let that pass. Extra Sexy Hipster has won stakes at... I hope your mic was dead. Has won stakes at Law. And
if it wasn't, I'll be.
All right. Cronin the Carbarian... The Barbarian, I think he goes in the stakes today. Anyway, he's one of 12 2-year-olds to win a place from Stroll's second Welcome Home Crop. He won the 2014 run of the $190,000 Kentucky Downs Juvenile Stakes and placed in the Pulpit Stakes at Gulfstream. Tuscan Getaway is placed in stakes at Belmont and Woodbine. Manaos, or something like that, Manaos, I guess it is stakes placed at Monmouth and Colonial Downs. Dig a little deeper at Woodbine. That's a lot of black type for a $5,000 stud fee, payable when the foal stands and nurses. Grade 1 winner Stroll by Sire's Pulpit stands at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at ClaibornFarm.com.
You sure you can trust me with this now?
Yeah, I guess.
All right. Jeez. It's a comforting feeling to do business with people you trust, especially when it comes to insurance. When we moved to Berman County, friends recommended the Hopewell Company. That was 26 years ago. They've been taking care of our insurance needs ever since. Hopewell Company has extensive experience working with horse farms, racing stables, and they also cover our home barn vehicles, horse trailers, bus liability, and they've been there whenever we needed them, including the time we got struck by lightning and sizzled all our wires in the house. They were there that day. Hopewell Company is an independent agency. They work for us, not the insurance companies. Thus, they are able to offer the best coverage, most competitive prices from financially sound, reputable insurers. Contact Hopewell Company. They'll give you a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance that you have now. Hopewell Company, 820 South Main Street in Paris, 987-2347. Or here's Lexington number, 254-2431. You'll get great service, I guarantee it.
Well, Indian Creek has another quality consignment at Keeneland's January sale, selling high-quality thoroughbreds. That's a tradition at Indian Creek. So go to Barn 14 to inspect yearlings by Trap Shop, the number one freshman sale sire of 2014. By proven grade one sires, yes, it's true, in Bellamy Road. He had a stakes winner, I believe, yesterday again, plus mares and foal to Trap Shot, Morning Line, and Flatter. First crop yearlings by Trap Shot averaged $115,712 last year. And Indian Creek has two nice colts by him. One is from the immediate female family of Taylor the Cat and Pulpit. The other, the first foal out of a winning half-sister to two stakes winners, including a graded stakes winner and a millionaire. The colt by Yes It's True, sire of 21 two-year-old winners in 2014, is the first foal out of a good winner from a top family. And the filly by Bellamy Road is a half-sister to Saratoga Heater, winner of stakes at two at Belmont in 2014. The mare and foal to Trap Shot is out of a stakes winner and grade one place mare, Call Now, a half-sister to the 2014 winner of the grade one Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. The mare and foal to Morning Line is the dam of Saratoga Heater, a stakes winner at Belmont at two last year. And the mare and foal to Flatter is a winning 100% producing daughter of a graded stakes winner and grade one producer, Marshall's Dancer. There's more. On Thursday, Indian Creek is offering a mare and foal to Roman Ruler, two nice broodmare prospects, including a multiple stakes win of over $443,000, and a hard-hitting race prospect. There's already won stakes in over $266,000. They'll be in Barn 14 for the Tuesday sale. Barn 46 Thursday, another quality consignment from Indian Creek. Boy, I tell you what, that's a long commercial, Shaq. I'm going to have to charge Shaq Parrott double for that one. Oh, well. All right. I think that's the end of that. And, Michael, you were going to give me your picks for the Eclipse Awards other than your own.
No, I was going to give – I keep forgetting.
Yeah, sure it is.
Well, did I tell you what, Tim? Did I tell you what happened? I went over to Brereton Jones. I went over to Airdrie Stud to tell Governor Jones that we were going to get this Eclipse Award because I wanted him to know.
He went over to hit him up for some more money, is what he did. Go ahead.
Anyway, no, 99% of the time you would be right or so, but on this occasion, I ran into Tim Thornton.
Okay,
because Barry wasn't there. He's out on the farm. So I said to Tim, "If you run into Barry, just tell him that it's really nice. They're going to give us. They're going to give old friends an Eclipse Award this year." And he goes, Tim looks at me strangely and looks at me. He says, "A real Eclipse Award?" I said, "I think so. Unless it was one of my friends calling, making a joke." Yeah, yeah. So that'll be exciting. That's 2 weeks from today.
2 weeks from today. Oh, yep. I assume that you will
not be
here. You
have to call me from the beach down there at Hallandale. I'll be handicapping on the beach, waiting to go to Gulfstream Park in the afternoon to bet the race, and at night get dressed up in my tuxedo with all the swells and have a great old time.
I'd love to see him in a tuxedo.
Well, you might get that opportunity.
What?
Don't get too excited.
All right.
All right. So now we got the horse of the year to go, right?
You want to start with the horse of the year, or you want to start
Let's start with the one we'll agree on.
What's that going to be?
Untappable.
Oh, okay. All right. Untappable. I'll have to go with that.
All right. Now you go. Who do you want next? What do you want to do next?
Well, let's start with the two-year-olds. Who do you like for the two-year-old colt?
American Pharoah.
I'll be damned.
Uh-oh. He's got that, too.
I mean, I can't.
All right, I'll change my mind before you do. We can't both be right.
Well, no, I think he's the only one to win two grade one stakes, I believe, and then he beat Texas Red the only time they met, and beat him pretty good.
Yeah,
so
he did.
I've got to go with American Pharoah, too. 2-year-old.
I got a $10 win bet on an American Pharoah for the Derby.
Well, I don't, you know.
So that's good. We're 2-for-2. All right. How about, I know, we'll find one. Where
2-year-old we're filly. Go with that one.
All right. 2-year-old filly. I have to say, Take Charge Brandy.
Well, I do, too.
Uh-oh. Gee, this is getting a little dull. Yeah. Siskel and Ebert are both coming back from the dead to argue. put a little spice on them.
Double whammy on them.
Well, you know, right after the Breeders' Cup, you know, you could have gone for Lady Eli.
Right, that's right. I like her very much.
Yeah, I do too. Mm-hmm. And as a bias, because, you know, she's by, you know, Divine Park.
Well, yeah.
Brewer's horses.
Exactly. No, she's a wonderful racer. But, you know, Take Charge Brandy just kept campaigning and campaigning.
I know.
Campaigning,
yeah, she kept, she, you know, she won 3 great, you know, graded stakes in a row and ended up with a starlet. Mm-hmm. So you gotta go with her, you know. Won the juvenile fillies and a starlet, so okay. All right, now here's where we're probably gonna differ. Okay. I know there's one down here, but 3-year-old colt, who do you like?
I would vote for California Chrome.
Me too.
All right, I'll take somebody else. I'll get everybody annoyed and call it now and tell them I want Bairn to win.
Yeah. Who?
Bairn.
You think he'll win it?
I think he might.
Yeah, he might win it, but I don't think he deserves it.
Well, there you go.
You know,
all goes back to that one particular race coming out of the gate. This poor horse will never live it down.
No, but he was inconsistent all year.
Huh?
He was kind of inconsistent all year. But I can see why. I had him third. I had shared belief that he lost all chance in the classic, you know, because of Bairn, you know. So, all right, well, we got to go. All right, older male.
I'm gonna vote for Palace Mouse because Charlie Pig owns part of Palace Mouse. I love that horse. He's a supporter of old friends, Dogwood Stables, and Cod Campbell have always helped us an awful lot. And he's a terrific, terrific horse. He just had some injuries that cut short his brilliant start to his year.
Yeah, he was the best. I got to go with him, too. He was the best older horse in training by the time when he got hurt in Whitney.
And they, you know, they're always given this. The last few years, they've always given it this category to turf horse, like Wise Dan and all of that. So, you know, he did it on the dirt. It's about time the dirt guys, you know, kind of stuck their heads up and said, it's about time we win something.
Yeah, I'll go along with that, too. I hate to agree with you.
Jeez, this is terrible.
Older filly or mare?
Go ahead.
Close Hatches.
Yeah.
She's the only filly a mare, you know, in that division to win 3 grade one stakes. And if they had stopped after she won the last one there would have been any question. And why he ran her those after that miserable race in the Spinster, which was completely out of character for her.
Yeah, I agree.
I was shocked that she came back in the distaff.
Yeah.
And she did the same thing all over again.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's
for the whole year. You know, these awards are for the whole year. It starts in January and goes to December, and that's it.
Yeah, she won 3 grade one stakes.
Yeah.
And nothing else in that division.
I hope nobody's betting on our selections here, just in case. But, well, no, I think she towers over him. I do, Russell.
Yeah, I think so, too. All right, male sprinter, who do you like?
Work All Week. He beat all these horses, I think. He beat both of some of the others in the sprint, in the Breeders' Cup sprint. I think
he beat Private Zone. I would have given it to Private Zone prior to that.
Beat Palace.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, as much as for some of the horses you like to look at their early in the year, when they're all lined up for the Breeders' Cup and they're all testing each other on the track, that's where you like to see it decided.
Yeah. Okay.
And Work All Week certainly did that.
Now, unfortunately, we're not much argument here. Female sprinter, Judy the Beauty.
Yeah, probably.
She's by one of my favorite horses. I got to buy. So she's a Ghost Zapper. I love Ghost Zapper.
Yeah.
I think he's a super horse.
Yeah, he is.
Stud, you know.
Yeah.
I really do.
He and Awesome Again over there at Dena Springs.
Yeah, that's quite an entry there. Yeah,
isn't it?
Father and son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, we got a really nice son of Awesome Again at our farm, don't we?
Oh, a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The dude, man, this horse is so cool.
Yeah.
He should get something. we should have a category, best retirement. Best horse to retire this year.
Champion cribber. He could get that.
Yeah. Oh. There you go.
Yeah, he's a cribber. But he loves Jolly Rancher candies, and he puts his head on your shoulder, and he loves little kids. I mean, he's going to be the hit of the tour. He's absolutely lovable.
I hate to hear
it. We're going to nickname him Ursel.
Because he cribs?
No, because he's lovable.
Yeah. Well, I don't crib.
Yeah, you know. He can crib all he wants. You're in $6.5 million. You think he got some cribbing insurance? I'll replace any board that he cribs on. I don't care.
Oh.
Let him do whatever he wants.
You know, I read there's a study done in Europe I read about. It's in either the horse or equus, if anybody has read it, that they looked at stress hormone cortisol levels in horses that cribbed and horses that don't crib.
Yeah.
And the horses that cribbed had less cortisol, so they're less stressed. So I think that's why. I thought of Game On Dude because he's so laid back, such a good horse, that maybe he's just happy and unstressed all the time.
Is that right? Great. That's very interesting. Yeah. Okay, here comes the question.
Cribbers that we've had were old, fat, laid back quarter horses, the old timey ones, and they cribbed like you wouldn't believe.
Right.
And they didn't seem stressed at all.
So I think that's why.
Well, I'll tell you, he's not stressed. We can all learn something from Game On Dude. Nothing bothers his horse. But it's really, really fun because I saw him jog against Silver Charm a day before yesterday. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
He's kicking up his heels.
Which one?
Game On Dude.
Okay. I mean, no. Which Silver Charm?
Oh, which Silver Charm? Yeah, well, the other Silver Charm.
Oh, the one with the class.
The one, yeah, well, let's not get into a discussion of that.
So I have a question. What did you say they had less of? Cortisol?
Cortisol.
Could you give them a shot of it and see if it stops cribbing? That might be
They had less, so if you give them more...
Wonder if that would do anything. That would prove that theory. I don't know. I'm just thinking.
Then they run through the fence, huh?
Yeah. That's right. Some show horses get some steroids because people think it calms them down. But I just
don't like a cribber. You know, I mean, it broke my heart. I always thought Majestic Prince was one of the most gorgeous horses I ever saw in my life. You know, horses win for Johnny Longden, win the Derby,
sure,
and the Preakness, and should never run into Belmont. He was a cribber.
Yeah.
I found that out, you know. It's like finding out Mary Poppins was a junkie. You know?
No, it's not. Yeah. That's the worst analogy I've ever heard. Oh, my goodness gracious. Call the FCC. Bad analogy department.
There's something in that umbrella.
Holy
Resty said there was something in that umbrella.
Sometimes those kids are awfully quiet.
Well, anyway. Oh, my God.
Well, should we do male terp and then female terp and then horse of the year?
All right.
I have to. I know Main Sequence is probably going to win this, but I sentimentally, I have to vote for Wise Dan. I love that horse. I would never vote against him for anything.
Well, I went from. The horse is 4-for-4 in Grade 1 stakes over here.
I know.
Yeah.
It has to be a sentimental, ignorant vote, but that's what it is.
Well, yeah, okay. So, you're supposed to vote for the
horse that
did the most
to
in a year.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. All right.
I vote that way sometimes when I go to vote for humans.
Female turf.
Twice.
Yeah.
Female turf.
Day at the Spa.
Yeah, I wanted to vote for Stephanie's Kitten, but I couldn't justify it.
I know. She'd only got done better in the Breeders' Cup. You know, you could.
Yeah. Okay. All right. All right. Horse of the year.
I think they're going to give it to California Chrome.
I think he deserves it.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
When he came out and he won that last race, too, that was really quality. You know, he came back and
I go back to the bell. You know, he come within a length and a half winning the Triple Crown.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah.
And he came within a length and a half of winning the Classic. You know, was it that far? Did I? He might not have got beaten a length and a half.
Yeah,
I'd have to go back and look at the chart.
That's right.
You know, and that's pretty good, I think. I mean, that's he danced every dance. The only bad race he threw in was the one when he went to Parks.
Yeah, that's right.
Pennsylvania Derby.
And he'd been off for all that time. And they told you before the race he wasn't going to be cranked up for the Pennsylvania Derby. He wanted to win something else. You know.
That's a long way to ship a horse when knowing he's not cranked.
Well, they got a bonus. They got like $50,000 for the owner and $50,000
just
for the
to show up?
Yeah.
Yeah, cheap as I am, I'd have shipped too.
Then you could pay for a haircut.
Yeah. I still wouldn't do that. All right.
All right, I'm going to go. I got a tour to do.
Oh, that's a little big lie, but that's
no, right. It's not.
He's got all that help there.
I can't believe it. I can't believe the people that are coming to see, you know, I would come to see these horses too, but I'm telling you, they're calling up to see Silver Charm, and it doesn't make any difference how cold it is. I put some people, wrapped some people in some horse blankets the other day and threw them on the golf cart, and off we went. Holy mackerel, I'm freezing it. I said, I hope you know that this is going to be a truncated tour. We're only going to be out for 45 minutes. This is going to be the hour and a half version. So if you got any favorite horse you want to see, we'll go express.
Better speak up now. Huh?
Express to the paddock.
Yeah. Well, ask those people why they're here, you know. I mean, I'm curious from Europe. You know, how come you're here right now, this time of year? I guess it's a sale, but it's awful early.
No, it could be they're just on vacation or they're visiting relatives. It's not because of this. They could be not even in the horse business. They're just coming to see the horses and have some fun.
All the way from Italy?
Sure.
This time of year?
Maybe they wanted to see Jerry again. We brought him home from Italy.
Well, is that where he was?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Well, every once in a while.
Every now and then you learn something. Okay.
All right, well, Michael. Thank you very much.
Doc, we're going to get you on next.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right, Mike. Thank you for coming by.
Great to see you.
And you're welcome to the racing form.
Thank you very much. I bought my Saturday form and I gifted the Sunday form. the future looks bright. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. I have to say one thing. My friend Tim, the farm manager at Old Friends, finished third in the handicapping contest last night.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Over 100 entries. And he made $350.
Well,
and
good for Tim.
He gets into the Tournament of Champions.
Is that
yeah, does he have to go to Las Vegas for that, or they do it
I don't know.
Him? Yeah, I
hope he doesn't have to go to Las Vegas, because then we won't have anybody at the farm, so I'll have to root against him.
Oh. Okay, that's self-serving if it ever was, huh? Well, December 27th at Tampa Bay, the $100,000 Gasparilla Stakes was won by Irish Jasper. Two-year-old filly by First Defense. Bred in Kentucky by Mr. and Mrs. Robert E. Courtney Sr. Irish Jasper has posted 3 wins and a 3rd from 4 starts, and she sprinted 7 furlongs, 1:22 and 2 to take the Gasparilla. I dismissed the track record by just 2/5 of a second. She broke a maiden in her career debut at Parks, ran 3rd at Aqueduct, recorded another win at Parks, then the Gasparilla. She's one of 7 2014 stakes horses by First Defense. A list that includes Close Hatches, winner in 2014, the Grade 1 Ogden Phipps, the Grade 1 Apple Blossom, the Grade 1 Personal Ensign, and the Grade 2 Azari. That brought her earnings over $2.7 million and hopefully an Eclipse Award. Private Heads, a stakes winner in France. Chicago stakes winner Pistols Drawn, the promising 2-year-old Tamburlaine. He's placed in group stakes in England and in Ireland this year. Last year it was as a 2-year-old. Stakes placed 2-year-old Kazuri, and Santa Anita placed a Beach Hut. Grade 1 winner First Defense by Unbridled Song, out of Grade 1 winner Honest Lady, a half sister by Seattle Slew. 2 Empire Maker stands for $10,000 live foal at Judmont Farm. See the website. Well, give Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry a call. And see the website at judmont.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for some 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack have been entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious their vehicles and equipment have to be in tip-top shape. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van. They are experienced drivers, experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse on a Sally Van, you can depend on the fact the guy behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. Sally Van, they wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why, for more than half a century, Sally Van has been the safest way to the winner's circle. 255-9640.
Well, Candy Ride ranks fifth on the 2014 sire list. He sired 13 2014 stakes winners, seven of them graded stakes winners, including a leading candidate for Horse of the Year. Sydney's Candy is a grade one stakes winner and millionaire by Candy Ride. He won the grade one Santa Anita Derby, set a new course record, going a mile and 16th and 1:39.2 in the grade two La Jolla handicap, spending 7 furlongs and 1:20.4 when he won the grade two San Vicente. He won the grade two San Felipe, won Saratoga's grade two four-star day, ran a mile in 1:33.3 when he won the grade three Sir Beaufort. And he set a new track record for 5.5 furlongs the day he broke his maiden as a two-year-old. He could fly. Sydney's Candy is out of the Stormcat Mare Fair Exchange, the dam of two graded stakes winners by Candy's Ride, and a daughter of the Brilliant Exchange, winner of 10 stakes, 7 graded, 3 grade 1, and over $1,287,000. First crop yearlings by Sydney's Candy were well received last year. He stands for $15,000. Due in the foal stands and nurses at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Darren Fox or Sean Tugel or Kyle Wilson, 859-873-1717. See the website, windstarfarm.com. All righty. Well, we've got Dr. Brian Walridge. He's been very silent over here. Of course, he couldn't get a word in edgewise. And
just enjoying the show. I thought there'd be more fireworks this morning, Michael.
Well, you
we're kind of getting over colds. That kind of slows you down a bit.
You think it slowed me down a little bit?
Well, I don't know. It slowed me down a little bit. Don't take it personally.
Jeez.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe I feel better than you do. I don't know.
Probably. Yeah, I think you got it first, and then I got it.
Yeah. Well,
get
anyway.
Better first.
Doc, I hope you don't get it from us.
I don't think we're contagious and pit it a week.
Yeah, it's been going on forever, it seems like. I never had a cold before. It started my chest and then moved up my head. Usually goes the other direction.
Oh, yes. It usually does.
It's because he stands on his head a lot, usually contemplating things.
I'm going to ignore that. Well, what's on your mind today other than cribbers?
Well, there's another interesting study I read about respiratory supplements you can use in horses. I thought was really interesting for race horses, especially. It was where they looked at giving horses omega-3 fatty acids. You know, a lot of people take fish oil, which is a really good source of omega-3 fatty acids.
We do.
Yeah.
But you can also, in horses,
makes your breath smell bad, but other than that.
No, not ours does. Kind of take
them. Yeah, go ahead.
And they're really good because they have some anti-inflammatory effects.
Yep.
And people take them for heart health and things like that.
Yeah.
But in horses, you can use fish oil or you see some supplements have flaxseed or flax oil. That's a really good vegetable source of omega-3 fatty acids. And then animal sources, fish oil is the best. So if you see those in supplements, that's why they're in there oftentimes, to get those omega-3 fatty acids. But they looked at horses that had heaves or they had inflammatory airway disease, which you see a lot in young race horses, where they build up mucus and cough. And the more mucus the horse has, the more that'll affect the performance, make the horse do poorly.
You see many thoroughbreds with heaves?
No, you don't. It's cause
that's
it's,
what I thought.
It's more a disease of older horses. So inflammatory airway disease you see in younger horses, and usually it doesn't affect the horse at rest. If you just look at the horse, they're not working hard to breathe, and heaves usually older horse, and they do that extra push when they breathe out. So
back when I was a kid, everybody in my family rode. My mom rode, my dad rode, and I rode. And when we were over at Dixiana, and they had an old saddle horse there, you know, that every time he'd pull the saddle out, he'd get the heaves.
That's right,
you know, I think it.
I was smart.
I don't think there was a thing in the world wrong with him, to tell you the truth. He got ridden anyway, I'll tell you that. Heaving or not, but go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen a case of heaves in a thoroughbred either. Not to mention that.
No, that's the reason I brought it up.
I haven't seen a lot of inflammatory airway disease in young racehorses, young thoroughbreds.
Oh, yeah.
That's a come, but not to mention that, I don't think I've ever seen that.
That's the kind of thing that you think it's gone, and you're just getting ready to work, and they go, and you go, uh-oh, it's not gone. Right. It's hard to get rid of that.
It is. It could be pretty tough. But the neat thing about this study is they put them on a supplement that had some flax in it. It had vitamin C, which is an antioxidant, MSM, which you see in joint supplements, which is an anti-inflammatory.
Jackie, some of those things that would take that MSM in it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, we take whatever it is,
Lubricin
and all that stuff.
I take Lubricin.
Yeah, that's an anti-inflammatory.
Right, and MSM's related to DMSO, which gives an anti-inflammatory. It's a metabolite of it.
You talk about smelling bad.
Yeah, there you go.
The DMSO. Not Lubricin, the DMSO.
DMSO can't be hidden, you're right. Where that goes.
Fish.
And then they had a mushroom extract in there that was an antioxidant.
Right.
But they put these horses on these... on this supplement, that had heaves or inflammatory airway disease. And then they also changed their environment, which is important with respiratory health. They took the horses off hay, fed them a complete pelleted diet.
Yeah.
But what they found was that the horses that got an omega-3 fatty acid supplement, they could do a test where they look at how easy it is for the horse to breathe, and that improved. The horses coughed less. And also when they did a test to look at the inflammatory cells in their lungs, there were less inflammatory cells in their lungs.
Huh.
And so that, to me, it's really a neat study that's a supplement to think about, being an omega-3 fatty acid supplement.
Where would you get it?
Well, there's quite a few available as fish oil supplements that are deodorized and flavored, so horses will eat those.
I bet you Macaulay's has it.
Yeah, I think you can get them pretty readily. So there's you can find those. And
we feed their pellets.
Yes.
Have for years.
Right. So I do.
And you do too?
Well, I would say you can find them just about, go to your feed store, talk to your vet, they can help you find those, but you can get those. And I recommend the fish oils just because they're higher in omega-3 fatty acids. So you give less, but both work with this study. And then there's another really interesting study too. They used omega-3 fatty acids in horses that were, and they ran them on a treadmill to try and stimulate the horses to bleed, like they do on the track. And they found that horses had lower red blood cells after they worked hard. They were given omega-3 fatty acids. So I think it's a supplement to talk to your vet about and read some on it.
That's a good
idea. Would help
idea.
Us with racehorses.
Yeah. Ursel takes omega-3 fish oil and gets on the treadmill at the Y, and he hadn't bled yet.
That's right. It might not be working him hard enough.
He's puffing pretty good.
You can count on that.
But there's a lot of good things. Other things they do too, omega-3 fatty acids, like the fish oils, they've shown in lab animals that it stimulates you to burn fat instead of store fat. So they have some, it improves insulin sensitivity. So there's a lot of good reasons to supplement with the omega-3 fatty acids. We recommend them a lot for these metabolic syndrome horses, those fat horses, to help stimulate some weight loss and also makes them have better insulin sensitivity.
Wonder if that would do anything with Cushing's.
It could, because with Cushing's there is some insulin insensitivity.
Right.
Cushing's is more that they have too much of that cortisol, that same hormone that we talked about earlier, but it would help to improve and
Young horses don't get Cushing's, do they?
Right. The youngest it's ever been found, 7 years of age.
Yeah. Seven,
where they actually found the lesion in the brain. But that's pretty early.
Yeah.
Most horses are going to be well into their teens.
Well, we had really two broodmares, I think that's, and they were.
Hell, they were 30 years old.
Exactly. They were really old.
And as horses age, I think all horses, as they get older, their chances of having that change in their pituitary gland, mm-hmm, it's going to be there if you have an older horse, but it's just how clinical is that horse. Mm-hmm. A lot of horses carry the winter hair coat and don't shed it out, or maybe they get a little pot bellied, or they pee more, things like that.
Well, the necks get
crusty necks.
Crusty. They get real crusty necks, and then they're sort of dropped down where the, on their backs, and they just look all out of whack.
Yeah, so I think a lot of horses have some of the signs, but it really doesn't affect them much. And those are the horses I usually don't treat. But if they're showing things like laminitis or
that's what I was
weight loss,
say.
Or
does Cushing lead to laminitis?
It can, because
that mare we had wound up with laminitis. She was getting around, but then she couldn't walk.
Exactly. That wasn't our mare, was it?
Curly.
Yes, Curly got laminitis?
Yeah, that's why we put her down. She really had a lot of rotation in that white foot, and it was...
She always had a club foot.
Yeah, but this was, she couldn't.
She
move.
Never passed it on.
Nope.
Not
but,
a, you
but,
know.
She was.
She never passed on much moved. Of anything. She
bills.
Yeah, passed on the bills.
Lots of money.
She was, well, she was a nice race mare.
Yeah.
Yeah, good allowance winner.
Real smart mare.
Hard hitting mare, and she had some winners for us, but nothing of any class. Yeah, I'm sure that doesn't interest you. You know, you've seen a bunch of them.
I'm still thinking about my mayor when anybody says anything.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah.
You notice those things more when you have a mayor now.
Yeah, I hate to get harping on this, but do you think cribbing is something that they inherit, that tendency maybe?
I don't know if anybody's what they have looked at some is those is foals that crib tend to have lower pH in their stomach and have it. There's been some studies showing too they had more ulcers. So, and part of what they do when they crib is they produce more saliva, and saliva has bicarbonate, which is baking soda basically, and that goes down there and helps to neutralize the acid. So, you know, it may be differences in the gut more so than genetics that may drive that. But that's, you know, pretty interesting that when they look at those foals, that they tend to be.
How often do you see a foal? I've never seen a foal.
I've seen very few. Yeah. You know, very few. Well,
you've
seen wieners
a whole lot more than I have. Although down through the years, you may not have.
Right.
I got a little head start on you. But I don't believe I've ever seen one.
No,
a foal
I didn't know.
You
know.
Maybe a handful of wieners that would crib. And,
wow.
So sometimes, if I did see them, I'd say, well, let's try treating them for ulcers, or at least put them on something to help buffer
their
stomach.
They ever outgrow it?
I think some of them did. You know, if they had, if ulcers were driving it, then you could treat the ulcers and get them. And I think there is some truth to horses learning cribbing behavior from other horses.
I think so.
Because I've seen that. I've seen horses.
Is that right?
That we had on research trials and all that we were working with, and you'd have the cribber up for part of the research trial, and then there'd be other horses that didn't crib, and then they seemed to pick it up pretty quick.
I don't think we ever raised a cribber. Only cribber we had was a quarter horse.
Quarter horses we rode. And we put cribbing straps on them. Yeah. You know, there you are.
Right.
They still crib, but that's not as much.
No, you know, if you had a really good fit, of course, we lined ours with that stuff looks like lamb skin.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
You know, we lined them with that, and then they, you know, that worked.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I remember Matt O'Hara would, if you were around her enough, and I was, I must have cleaned her stall. How many times? And every now and then you'd see her crib, but she was not. You know, she never cribbed when she had a foal by her side. But every now and then, you know, it kept. But, of course, she did everything different anyway that O'Mara did. She was, other than tried to kill a bunch of assistant starters.
Well, oxytocin has a calming effect. So maybe the foals, when they nurse, that's going to stimulate oxytocin release.
Yeah.
Cause that's interesting.
Supposed to be part of the calming effect. Because, you know, sometimes you can bond a mare to a foal by giving them oxytocin, things like that.
Yeah.
Well, I've got a question. Do more females or more males crib?
I don't think I've seen any differences on studies that I've read. And I guess I've just experience-wise, I think it's probably been as many one or the other. What do y'all think?
I don't know. We've just had old geldings that would crib. That's that, you know, the riding horses. That's all.
I've seen mares. I know. I can remember one mare we had in the hospital one time. She would just crib in the air. She wouldn't even need to cook her teeth on anything.
Really?
She would stand in the middle of the stall and stick her neck out and crib and just do that. And I've only seen. She's the only horse I've ever seen crib in midair.
Oh my word! I've never seen that either. That's pretty interesting.
Uh-oh.
It's him.
All right. Well, Doc, thank you so much.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I'll go and
enjoy having you here as usual.
Recheck a few old friends, run a few errands.
Okay.
Gearing up for breeding season.
That's right.
So,
Michael's hopefully got me going to the Eclipse Awards, too, so I got
are you? You're going to be going that week, too?
I think so.
I'm not going to fill these segments.
We'll have to send you a picture of us in our tuxes, I guess.
Yeah, and then out on the beach.
Oh, yeah.
Michael's not going to let me bring my purple velour tux I usually wear to weddings and funerals, so I have to get another one.
Purple velour, wow. That's funny. I love it.
Okay, Doc.
Well, everybody have a good weekend.
All right,
thank you.
Brian, you too.
See you later.
Dr. Brian Walridge. Well, Invisor was represented by another stakes winner in December to close out 2014. Expression from Invisor's first crop won the $100,000 Garland of Roses Stakes at Aqueduct.
expressionist placed in two stakes at Belmont prior to her score in the Garland of Roses, and she has accumulated earnings of more than $364,000. She is what you might expect from a daughter of Invisor, tough, sound, and consistent. She's won 7 times. She's been on the board in 19 of her 25 starts. Also from the first crop by Invisor, won the Grade 3 Modesty Handicap and placed in 3 more stakes, including the Grade 1 Beverly Dew, and she's earned over $331,000. Invisor was elected to Racing's Hall of Fame immediately upon becoming eligible. He was a great runner, acclaimed number one in the world as a 4-year-old and a horse of the year on 2 continents. He stands for $4,000 live foal at Shadwell Farm, home also of Albertus Maximus De Hare, Interdab. Inquiries to Stallion Manager Kent Barnes at 859-224-4585 and see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
Ralph Quillen's Quillen Leather and Tack in Paris, Kentucky. About the best you can get. Quality service and leather goods since 1982. They know what they're doing. They're the nation's largest custom halter shop. They ship about 20,000 halters a year all over the world. They're the best. Got turnout halters, got racetrack halters, got yearling sale and halters. They've got foal halters. I know you want to get ready for foaling season, and that means you might need a new twitch. You better go out there and check that out, because they have hickory twitches. Nothing that the visiting vet likes better than a good strong twitch. You can also get...
Unless it's a good strong person on the other end of it.
On the other end of it, yeah. You can get bracelets with name plates on them. You can get, of course, mare halters and neck straps with name plates on them. And you can get... Some people use those little tags for foals on little foaling halters. They got figure eights and the regular little halters. And they got all kind of stuff over there, including... You can get a cover, a leather cover with your name on it that fits the
catalog,
sales catalog. So when you go into Paris, go straight.
Third
stoplight on the left. You'll see a gray building.
Keep going straight if you want a beer.
And it's right at Rooster Brew.
Rooster Brewery right downtown. I think they're open Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. And, a lot of the days they have catering to come. People come in and cater. And I know Red State Barbecue comes in sometimes, and different people will come in and cater. So
yeah,
we've got over 100 different kinds of beers in
on
there.
The wall.
On the wall. You start
100 bottles of beer on the wall.
You start singing that, you're going to be in trouble.
That's
actually,
okay.
They got more than 100.
So anyway, their phone number, local number, is 987-0730. You can call that number too and see if what night they're going to have food.
Yeah.
At Rooster Brew.
At Rooster Brew.
It's Quillen.com, Quillin.com.
Well, in stakes last weekend, the Grade $300,000 La Proviante at Gulfstream went to Irish Mission, a 5-year-old mare by Giants Causeway, and the $100,000 Pasco Stakes at Tampa Bay was won by Catalina Red, a 2-year-old colt from the first crop by Munnings. Irish Mission was bred by Samson Farm, trained by Christopher Clement. At the $350,000 Saratoga yearling, she has won 4 stakes and earned over $1,266,000. Giants Causeway is the sire of 21 2014 stakes winners, 14 of them graded stakes winners. He's the number one sire of graded stakes winners of 2014. He also ranked number one on the 2-year-old sire list. Catalina Red is one of 27 2-year-old winners, 3 stakes winners, 6 stakes horses from the first crop by Munnings. He sired his 27th winner last Saturday when Ben's Duchess won a maiden special at Santa Anita. Munnings ranked second only to his stablemate at Ashford Stud. Looking at Lucky, he's got 29 among all sires on the 2-year-old sire list. Giants Causeway stands for $85,000. Munnings for $10,000. Fees due when the foal stands and nurses, and they stand at Ashford Stud. Call the farm at 859-873-7088. See the website at coolmore.com. All righty, I'm going to take care of my good friend over at Chauncey Morris over at Kentucky Thoroughbred Association and give you the names of the Kentucky breeders of stakes winners over the past weekend and the last week. The Grade 3 W.L. McKnight handicapped down at Gulfstream went to Divine Oath. That's a three-year-old colt by Broken Vow. Stands over at Pin Oak Stud, bred by Sanford Robertson. The grade three Mr. Prospector at Gulfstream Park went to Speechify. He's by Harlan's Holiday, a four-year-old colt bred by Totem Thoroughbreds. The Gasparilla Stakes at Tampa Bay, $100,000 pot. Irish Jasper won that, a two-year-old, a filly. She is by First Defense, stands at Judmont Farm, bred by Mr. and Mrs. Robert E. Courtney Sr. Good old Bob bred another one. The Eddie Logan Stakes at Santa Anita. Bolo won that. Bolo, a two-year-old colt from the First Crop by Temple City, stands at Spendthrift Farm, and he's bred by Spendthrift Farm. The Woodchopper Stakes at the Fairgrounds went to Rise Up by Rockport Harbor, a three-year-old colt bred by Cottonwood Stables. Let's see, who have we got next? The Arizona Juvenile Stakes at Turf Paradise. Freaking Amazing won that. A three-year-old, no, it's a two-year-old, it's a filly by Zensational, bred by Mercedes Stables. The Lost in the Fog Juvenile at Turf Paradise went to Outdated by Old Fashioned, bred by Masataki Lida. Excuse me. The Valley Forge Stakes on Tuesday at Parks went to Praterio, a six-year-old horse by Giant's Causeway. Bred by Michael Moore, Ben Walden, Hargis Sexton, and the Giants Causeway Syndicate. The All Lang Syne Stakes at 2 on Tuesday at Parks was won by, what's a dead heat, and I've just got the winner of one of them. Sailor's Revenge. It was by Laurie Ron out of Jostle Babraco, bred by Stonewall Farm Stallions in Kentucky. Dead heated with Adirondack King, and boy, I didn't look that up. Shame on me. Smack me, Jackie. Luke, never mind. You'd enjoy it too much. Wednesday, the Luke Krubosch Stakes at Turf Paradise winner was 12 Tribes, bred by Windstar Farm. And it's a three-year-old gilding by Street Cry, the Valley Forge Stakes at Parks. I just gave you that one. Same horse won it both times. The Blue Martha Stakes at Santa Anita on New Year's Day went to Lutine Bell by Bellamy Road. That's a three-year-old filly, just barely. Of course, Bellamy Road stands over at Windstar Farm. It was bred by Windstar Farm in partnership with John Penn. The Affectionately Stakes at Aqueduct winner, America. Boy, how about that? Four-year-old filly, what a name, America. Four-year-old filly by AP Indy, bred by B. Flay Thoroughbreds, that's Bobby Flay. The Fred Capocello Stakes, $100,000 yesterday at Aqueduct, went to Majestic Fair. That's a 3-year-old, just turned three, from the First Crop by Majestic Perfection, who stands over at Mr. Bridges, Brad and C. Jones, Airbury Stud. He was bred by Doug Oliver. That's his third win, won two races as a 2-year-old maiden special winner. He's got 20 First Crop winners in his First Crop. Five of them have won a placed in stakes for Majestic Perfection. And I think I've got my stats right on this. If not, anyway, I think the 20 winners, I think 15 of them won maiden specials. Very good start for Majestic Perfection, who's one of the fastest horses I ever saw, believe it or not. Well, Patio Prada was an Eclipse Award finalist as a 3-year-old. Runs in the family. His half-sister, Untappable, is a 2004 Eclipse Award finalist. In fact, I think she's a shoe-in. She won, in addition to the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Distaff, the Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks, the scene of Patio Prada's game placing in the Kentucky Derby. Untappable excels on the dirt. Patio Prada, he could run on anything. He demonstrated that by his performance in the Grade 1 Kentucky Derby, of course, which was on the dirt, by winning the Grade 1 Secretariat Stakes on the grass, and he placed in the Grade 1 Bluegrass Stakes on artificial. That's three Grade 1 stakes on three different surfaces. He's the most versatile son of Sire Sizel Prado. He won five graded stakes and earned $1,721,297. Patio Prada and Untappable are out of the graded stakes winner Funhouse. She earned over $432,000, and this is the family of dozens of major stakes winners. Among them, Tapazar, winner of the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. Patio Prado has the numbers in his favor. He covered 444 mares in his first three seasons at stud, and he stands for $9,500 doing a full stint in nurses. Call Des Dempsey, Brian Lyle, or Mark Toothacker at 859-294-0030. Always ask about breeding incentives and see the website, spendthriftfarm.com. Let's see. Reborn. We were talking about Reborn and Lubricin, talking about Lubricin.
Yes.
That we took, or both of us take.
Yes.
Yeah.
For joint. MSM and all that stuff's in it. Take it every day.
Yep. It's something's working.
I know. We're able to get up. That's one thing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty good at our age.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a little bit older than Jackie. I'll have to own up to that.
But all right. No, it's good stuff. I mean, you just about need a decade. The thing about this is some of the stuff you get, you have to take a horse pill.
Yeah.
And this stuff, it's liquid. And you take, what is it, a tablespoon? I forget. Anyway.
Yeah, tablespoon.
Tablespoon. And it's grape flavored. And you don't know you've taken
it. Oh, it tastes good.
Yeah, it's fine. That's
a lubricant.
Sometimes if you have to take that stuff with a pill, you can't take enough pills to get that much down yet. That's the trick.
Well, it was developed by Dr. Steve Alday, essentially for horses. And, of course, and it's used by many owners, trainers, and veterinarians. And, incidentally, both Lubricin and Reborn are all natural. They're test-free. You don't have to worry about passing a spit box. Lubricin sustains the integrity of joint fluid. And it can help reduce the need for costly and painful acid injections and things like that. Just trainers that use Lubricin on a regular basis include Todd Pletcher. You've heard of him. Tony Dutrow. Jerry Hollendorfer, Mike Maker, and that's just to mention just a few of them here. And as I said, they also have it for humans, and Jackie and I use it. And go to lubricin.com. It's lubricin.com. You can pick it up for the humans over at Old Friends, and for both horses and humans at KBC here in Lexington, and Horse Sense down in Versailles. Reborn is a 100% sterile, whole concentrated natural bovine colostrum. Safe, easy to use as a dietary supplement for horses of all ages. And believe me, starting with foals, strengthens the foal's immune system immensely while nursing on the mare because of its high concentration of growth factors and antibodies. Actually, it supports immune functions in horses of all ages. I know Wise Dan, Charlie Lepresti, used it for Wise Dan. He ran under his whole career. Hopefully, Charlie's going to be able to get that horse back, win another grade one with him. And it helps him, you know, a quicker recovery from physical challenges. It's Reborn, and it's reborne.com. Two great products, both developed by Dr. Steve Alday, one of the nation's top veterinarians, and a good friend of not only this show, but of Old Friends. And he does a lot of good work for Old Friends, and bless his heart. All right, you can. I gave you those websites. That's lubricin.com and reborn.com.
Also, the way I get ours is I call them and order it online. I mean, I order it over the phone.
Yeah.
And you can put it on your credit card and they send it right out to you.
Yeah.
I like doing it.
Can't miss.
That way.
Well, last Saturday, Gulfstream, the great $300,000 WL McKnight was won by Divine Oath, a 3-year-old colt by Broken Vow. The only 3-year-old in the field. And breaking from the extreme outside in a field of 13, Divine Oath posted his 5th career win from 9 starts. Been on the board in 8 of those for earnings of over $441,000. Bred in Kentucky by Sanford Robinson, trained by Todd Pletcher. He is a $200,000 graduate of the September sales at Keenan. Early this year, he won the Grade 3 Kent Stakes at Delaware and the Grade 3 American Derby. And he placed in the Grade 2 Twilight Derby at Santa Anita and in Keenan's Grade 3 Lexington Stakes. He's one of 28 2014 stakes horses by Broken Vow. 10 of them won stakes, including another Grade 1 winner. Broken Vow has sired 126 stakes horses, 64 stakes winners, 4 champions. He's the leading son of Sire Sire's Unbridled Stud in North America. Broken Vow stands for $25,000. Doing a full stands of nurses at Pin Oak Stud. Inquiries at Clifford Berry and Nancy Stevens at 859-873-1420. See the website, pinoakstud.com. All right, Jackie, do a few announcements there, and I'm running about a set of commercials behind, then we'll catch up.
Okay, I wanted to say first that not wonderful news. Robert Murphy passed away. this past week, and what a wonderful horseman, wonderful guy. Everybody just loved him, and he'll be missed. Okay, the Crestwood Farm Open House is January 11th. They're going to have Stallion Season Raffle and, of course, Stallion Show. They've got, it starts at noon to 5. There'll be something to eat. And you can register to win free 2015 Stallion Seasons. Horse Park, there are no big shows coming up. I can tell you that January and February you practice in an indoor and get ready. Lakeside Arena. Today they have the Bluegrass Horse Pullers. I guess that is a tractor pull or something. I don't know what. January 4th is open. January 10th is a 10th and 11th is a Kentucky Hunter Jumper Show in the arena. You want more information? 489-4885. January 17th is the Lexington Winter Tournament. So you can go to the LWT Facebook page. The 18th is Bluegrass Winter Tournament. January 24th is open. So if you want to schedule something at Lakeside Arena, you've got some days open this month, next month, and then several, of course, on down the road. Today, at the horse park through today, last Thursday through today, is the Kentucky Invitational Truck and Tractor Pull. Today is Friday and Saturday. 6,000 limited light super tractors. The final is pro stock four-wheel drive trucks. 2.6 diesel trucks.
Diesel.
I had to say it right, don't I? Diesel. And tractor stuff. So you want to get out there and hear a bunch of noise? Do that.
Let me catch up with my commercials here.
Okay.
Top of the hour right now. Well, Ghost Bay, a two-year-old colt by Ghost Zapper, won the $100,000 Maryland Juvenile Futurity at Laurel last Saturday, won by widening 4.5 lengths. He's one of 15 2014 stakes winners by Ghost Zapper. They have won 25 stakes, 4 of 1 graded stakes, and 2 1 grade 1 stakes. Through last weekend, he had sired the winners of more than $7,750,000 to rank 11th on the leading sire list among all active sires that stood in North America. Winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic, Ghost Zapper, is the sire of Judy the Beauty. Winner of the 2014 renewal of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint, and also the Grade 1 Madison Stakes out of Keeneland. And, of course, she's a favorite to win an Eclipse Award. He is also the sire of Merino, winner of the 2014 running of the Grade 1 Whitney. Judy the Beauty has earned over $1,662,000. Merino over $1,845,000. Now, Ghost Zapper is by Breeders' Cup Classic winner Awesome Again, the world's leading active sire of Grade 1 winners on the dirt. His 14 Grade 1 winners have won 31 Grade 1 stakes. Awesome Again stands for $75,000. Ghost Zapper, $60,000. Don't have to pay it until the foal stands and nurses. Call Adina Springs at 1-800-975-5641. See the website, adinastallions.com.
ESPN, Sports Radio 1300, WLXG Lexington. LM Communications Broadcasting Station. LM Communications, 2014 Lexington Small Business of the Year.
Well, Bill Oppenheim, winner writing in the December 24 edition of the Thoroughbred Daily News about bargain sires, writes of Izstan, quote, "If you're looking in the $7,500 range, Izstan is your man," unquote. Well said. Think about this. No other major stallion in North America comes close to matching Izstan's 2014 percentage of graded stakes winners from runners. None. Not even close. A trainer friend of mine remarked the other day, those Zen stands, they can all run. Izstan's most recent stakes winner is Turkish, winner of the grade $350,000 valedictory stakes. He was preceded by Mr. Bowling, winner of 4 stakes, including the grade 3 LeComp. Izstan Ford, winner of the grade 2 San Clemente, grade 3 Arlington Classic, beaten Colts, and Del Mar Sandy Blue Handicap. Albano, winner of the grade 3 Pegasus stakes and Super Bowl Handicap. Attagon has placed in the Grade 1 Belmont and 4 more stakes, 3 graded.
Myositis Dam is great at stakes place at Churchill Downs. Young and Lovely at the fairgrounds. Northern Iowa out in California. All that run from just 66 foals in its first three crops. Grade 1 winner is Stand by Sire Sires Gone West. Stand to Mr. and Mrs. Bird and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. And so, incidentally, does Majestic Perfection, who sired the winner of the $100,000 Fred Cappy Capocello Stakes yesterday at Aqueduct. He is one of 22-year-old winners from the first crop sired by Majestic Perfection of Center Harlan's Holiday, who stands at Airdrie Stud, as does is Stand. He was bred by Doug Oliver, Majestic Affair. So see the website at airdreestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions, they're your key to racing profit. Go ahead, Jackie.
Okay, Snowball Series Mounted Games going on today at the Horse Park, 8 to 5, and tomorrow, 8 to 5. It's Mounted Games schooling competition. They have a fossils class. Isn't that great?
We should be in that.
I know. Beginner, novice, novice, intermediate, masters, fossils. Golly, finally. I've lived long enough to compete where I belong. You know, I started riding again at one time, and I thought, I'm in terrible shape. I think I was in law school. So I went down, and I started taking lessons again, you know, just to get going again. And so they said, why don't you just show up? We're going to have a show Saturday. So I showed up and got all dressed up, and I was out there and not lined up with a bunch of 6 and 7 year old little girls. And I had a hot flash right in the middle of all this. I said, you moron, what am I doing here? So anyway, all right, Saturday, January 10th, Altec Arena, USMGA returns for its Winter Wonderland 1 and 2 events, tryouts, advanced, and Norman Patrick divisions. Kentucky Hunter Jumper Association has a show January 16th and 17th, 8 to 5 at the Altec Arena. Go to khja.org for more information. The 25th annual Stallion Season Auction is coming up. It's Saturday, January 10th, live, hosted by Tom Durkin, and online and telephone auction begins Monday the 5th through Friday the 9th. And like I said, it's pretty pricey, but it's worth it. Call for more information or season donations. See, what they do is they have a bunch of donated stallion seasons, and that's worth a bunch of money. And you can bid on those, and sometimes you get a pretty good buy. Call 276-4989, or visit tca.org. Let's see. January 24th is the 6th annual Kentucky Breeders Short Course. This is at UK Equine Research. The day before is the 4th annual UK Equine Showcase. This is at the Doubletree by Hilton. Doubletree, isn't that out on Richmond Road? Yeah, okay. Go to equine@uky.edu for more information. I say it's very good. Through the winter months, the horse park is closed Mondays and Tuesdays. They'll go back to 7 days. I think it's in March. But they're 9 to 5 in the winter. Monday and Tuesday, they're dark. Now, let's see. I don't know. I'm apt to get horse racing. Horse races now. Free app on iPhone. La, 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 la. Horse races now. I guess you can Google that and find out what that's all about. Let's see. Thoroughbred Charities. Kentucky Winter Mix Sale February 9th at Fasig Tipton. Keeneland's first, and then Fasig Tipton. Of course, Michael Blowen's going to get an Eclipse Award for Old Friends for all the stuff he's done so much. It's amazing. Let me see. I'm turning these paid. Oh, Masterson, the equestrian park out here in Lexington where you can ride. They have covered indoor arena. If you want to do that, you need to call Georgia Ackerman at Parks and Recreation, 253-0328, because you can schedule days or evenings that aren't already scheduled to go out there and ride and not freeze to death. So if you can't remember her phone number, you can always call Parks and Recreations and ask to talk to the person that's in charge of Masterson. Keeneland catalogs, of course, are out. The Horses of All Ages sale starts January 12th, runs through the 15th. They've cataloged 1,610 horses. That's a bunch. Now, I don't think I have much else.
Okay.
Nope.
All righty. Well, Stroll sired a champion two-year-old filly and a graded stakes winner at Keeneland before being sent to Europe for stud duties. Back in Kentucky, picked up right where he left off. Sister Stroll has won the 2014 renewal of the Grade 3 Pucker Up and placed in the Grade 1 Queen Elizabeth II Challenge Cup. Skylander Girl has won a placed in 7 stakes. Extra Sexy Hipster has won stakes at Aqueduct and at Laurel. Cronin the Barbarian, one of 12 two-year-olds to win a place from Stroll's second welcome home crop, won the 2014 running of the $190,000 Kentucky Downs Juvenile, placed in the Pulpit Stakes at Gulfstream. Tuscan Getaway is placed in stakes at Belmont and at Woodbine. Manaus is stakes placed at Monmouth and at Colonial Downs. Dig a Little Deeper is stakes placed at Woodbine. That's a lot of black type for a $5,000 stud fee. Payable when the foal stands at Nurses. Grade 1 winner Stroll by Cyrus Pulpit stands at Claiborne Farm. Inquires to Bernie Sams and see the website, claibornefarm.com. Want to talk about my good friends Hill and Reagan Parker for a second. If you've got a farm that you're thinking about selling, or if you're looking for a horse farm, they're the people to get in touch with. That's Hill and Reagan Parker. The website is lexhorsefarms.com, and it's a great website. And the thing about if you're looking for a horse farm with Hill and Reagan, they're horse people, and they know exactly what you tell them what you want, and they'll find it for you. They've got great listings on that website from outstanding variety of locations and sizes and prices all over central Kentucky, as a matter of fact. I know they've recently sold one down close to us down in Bourbon County. I know they've got another one for sale, over in, maybe more than one, over in Bourbon County. And they're just great people to do business with. I know the place that they sold was belonged to a friend of ours, and she was delighted with the service they got from Hill and Reagan Parker, and you will be too, because they work real hard for you. You're two for one there. That's Hill and Reagan Parker, and they have great websites for, as I said, I'll give it to you again in just a minute. They got farms over in Georgetown on Ironworks Road. They got now over on Mount Horeb Road here in Lexington, right up here on the Paris Lexington Road, and Pisgah Pike and Paynes Mill Road. They're over on Escondido Road down in Paris, Kentucky, and Paynes Depot in Georgetown. Over on Hume Bedford Road in the Lexington area. There's just, you name it, and they'll find it for you. That's what is so good about them. I mean, they'll go out of their way to get it for you. Here's their website again. It's lexhorsefarms.com. Go to it and look it over, and you're going to, it's fun just to go and look over their website. It's a very professional website, just like they're very professional. They've been in the real estate business for working on 15 years now, I think. Anyway, here's their phone number. They live in Lexington, 859-608-8039, and the website again is lexhorsefarms.com. Well, if you're in the market for a yearling by Cape Blanco, or City Zip, or Kitten's Joy, or Quality Road, or The Factor, just go to Barn 9 out of Keeneland and check out the consignment from Pope McLean Crestwood Farm Agent. There, too, you'll find mares and foals to the likes of Majestic Warrior and Super Saver and Tis Deja Vu, Hold Me Back, Street Cry, among them two daughters of Tappet, others by Giants Causeway, El Prado, Dixie Union. They're also young broodmare prospects by Congrats and Fusi Ichi Pegasus, and a racing prospect by Old Fashioned. He's a two-year-old that's a half-brother to a stakes winner.
In the consignment, you'll find Full or Half Sisters to Grade 1 Winter Malibu Mint, Grade 1 Winter Sleep Easy, Grade 1 Winter Aptitude, and a whole lot of other black type runners. All in Barn 9, consigned by Pope McLean, Crestwood Farm Agent, and they sell on opening day out at Keeneland. Then go to Barn 34 for their Wednesday consignment. Earrings and mares and foal and three nice racing and breeding prospects. And while in Kentucky, ask about the many services offered by Crestwood Farm. Great place to board your horses. And incidentally, they're having an open stallion show on January the 11th and the 12th. On January the 11th, excuse me, from 12 to 5. That's on January the 11th, from 12 to 5. And you put your name in a pot out there and you can register to win a free season. That'll draw a crowd. And anyway, that's call a farmer and ask him about all this. It's 859-252-3770. And go to the website, crestwoodfarm.com. All right, as I alluded to earlier in the show, both Jackie and I have bad colds. And my voice is about ready to spit out the bit. Can't go much longer without messing up, I don't think. You get a tickle, and there you go. So, several years ago, it's been longer than several years now ago, I did a CD of some columns written by Joe Palmer. And my man Sean Say is down at the studio, and he's going to play a couple of those for me right now. And Sean, if you're all geared up down there, I think the first one is on, I believe it's on the Gas House Gang, but... These are written by Joe Palmer and from a CD that I did, I guess it's been close to 7, 8, 10 years ago now, Jackie. Anyway, Sean, if you're ready, let it rip.
The first column we'll read is about the Gas House Gang, and this is about four retired thoroughbreds pensioned for life at a green tree farm near Lexington, Kentucky. Easter Hero raced with some success over jumps in England. Cherry Pie carried the Green Tree Silks to several important victories as a two-year-old in 1922. 20 Grand won the 1931 Kentucky Derby in track record time. Jolly Roger, foaled in 1922, was the most popular steeplechaser of his era and retired as the leading money-winning steeplechaser of all time. The Gas House Gang. The records say that Jolly Roger earned $143,240. Which is woefully incomplete. He was a great steeplechaser in an era of great steeplechasers, and he won the Grand National at Belmont under 165 pounds in 1927, and he won it again the next year under 167. He ran for Mrs. Payne Whitney, which was a good thing for a horse, and after he left the races in 1930, he went back to the paddocks of Green Tree Farm to grow old gracefully, with the world's record for earnings by a chaser. Mrs. Whitney did not know it, but Jolly Roger's earning days weren't over. A good many tourists from Iowa and Maine and Kansas get to Green Tree every year, and, of course, they want to see famous horses. There were some children on the farm, owned by some of the resident employees, and they found this situation interesting. Want to see St. Germans, they'd ask, or questionnaire. If they found the visitors knew little enough, they'd offer Man of War, or for that matter, Eclipse. Whatever the choice, one of the youngsters would run out and catch old Jolly Roger, who was a very flashy horse with a blaze face and four white stockings, and he could be led by a child with a silk string. The act was always good for a quarter or a half dollar, and Jolly Roger was probably shown as much as any horse in Kentucky, though never under his own name. Presently, to share his paddocks came Cherry Pie, which was one of Mrs. Whitney's best-loved horses, and then 20 Grand, with his record for the Derby. And there was Easter Hero, finally, to make a fourth. The farm, lamentably addicted to baseball broadcast in season, called them the Gas House Gang. You won't recall Easter Hero, because he raced over the fences in England. He was good enough, but his fame rests largely on the way he played Mary Hell with the field of the Aintree Grand National of 1928. This was the notorious renewal in which 42 horses started, and only the 100-to-1 shot, Tipperary Tim, finished undamaged, though the American entry, Billy Barton, was remounted after pecking the last jump and finished second. No others finished at all, largely because of Easter Hero. He hit the canal turn fence, but instead of going over, landed astraddle of it. Billy Barton, too close to turn out, cleared fence, ditch, and Easter Hero in one prodigious leap. But several others fell, and more refused. Easter Hero finally fell back off the fence into the ditch on the near side, where he ran up and down for a while, and nothing followed behind would attempt to jump at all. This cut the field to a half dozen or so, and Aintree's murderous fences took care of most of the few which had got over. 20 Grand had won the Derby of 1931 in track record time, sweeping down the stretch with a prodigious rush. He was later tried in the stud, but proved incurably sterile. There was an attempt to train him. He ran in the first Santa Anita handicap in 1935, but this didn't work very well either, though he was brought back to the farm and turned out with the other pensioners. It would be nice to think that these four old warriors remembered their days of glory and argued during the hot summer afternoons about whether steeplechasing was honest, though the chances are they didn't. But at least they had the big paddocks and the tall grass and their own company and long years of idleness. As the years passed, their reputations were largely forgotten. There had always been plenty of horses better than Cherry Pie. Whirlaway broke 20 Grand's Derby record with an even more spectacular rush. Many another horse came down at Aintree to the detriment of the field behind him. But year after year, Jolly Roger held to his record. No other steeplechaser had ever earned so much as he. But faster even than racehorses runs the white horse. Cherry Pie was the first to go. He died in 1947 at the age of 27. In February 1948, Easter Hero rose to his last fence. And then, a month later, 20 Grand came to the end of his days at age of 20. This left Jolly Roger, an aging 26, as the lonely survivor. In all the years since he had left the fences, his record had remained virtually the only money record, except Top Flight, which had withstood the big purses of the 40s. Then, on July 2, Elkridge, 10-year-old veteran of 1,000 fences, shook off the field of the Indian River steeplechase at Delaware Park, and with a purse of $8,800, set a new steeplechasing mark for earnings. On July 3, the Gas House Gang was disbanded. Jolly Roger died at Greentree.
All righty. I think we've got a few more minutes here. I believe the next one to come up, they mentioned Elk Ridge breaking Jolly Roger's record. And I think the second one that we recorded, if memory serves, was on Elk Ridge. So, Sean, just go ahead and play that one, and then we'll take a commercial break after that.
Farmer's next riding that we're going to use is Elk Ridge's Jelly Donuts. Elk Ridge was a foal in 1938, twice champion steeplechaser, broke the earnings record for steeplechasers held for more than two decades by Jolly Roger. Elk Ridge's Jelly Donuts. Lest one good custom should corrupt the island, racing now moves from the great sweeps and swards of Belmont, where, to be sure, you cannot see much of the races, but where what you see in general is the best racing in America. The movement is to Aqueduct, which has been commented on in this corner as somewhat less compelling in its scenic grandeur than Yosemite Park or the swamps around Lake Okeechobee. And yet, even Aqueduct has been to the beauty parlor. And if it did not take the full treatment, at least it had its face washed. Belmont, as usual, turned up some fine racing, and I don't know that I saw anything more appealing than the closing rush that old Elk Ridge put on to win the Meadowbrook Steeplechase. Because, partly, you can't help but like an honest, durable old battler that's fighting the years, as well as the weight and the horses, and partly because there's a story behind him. It started, actually, in 1940, when the Kent Millers were driving from Florida to Charlottesville, Virginia, trying to find a place to settle. The end of a hard day's driving brought them to Aiken, South Carolina, where they stopped overnight. Next day, to condense things slightly, they started building a house there. The establishment had shifted a bit to Camden, but it's still South Carolina and longleaf pines and mockingbirds and things. Now, at Aiken, horses stroll in and out. Moreover, this was in time of Thomas Hitchcock, so when the fine sportsman died in 1941, Miller had become convinced that he wanted a horse. He bought one from the dispersal of the Hitchcock horses at Pimlico for $7,000. This was Elk Ridge. He had run only once because Hitchcock didn't believe in racing steeplechasers until they were four, but he had won that race. Miller knew as much about training horses as a man does who spends the winters in Aiken and goes to most of the parties. The first time he ran Elk Ridge, the horse finished last by 100 lengths. That's not an exaggeration. It's in the charts. Maybe, reflected the trainer, I don't know what I'm doing. But next time, Elk Ridge, though still last, was only 50 lengths behind. Anyway, Miller said, I seem to be on the right track. It proved that he was, because Elk Ridge topped Jolly Roger's old record, $143,240, for earnings by a steeplechaser. And the Meadowbrook ran the record to $178,055. It was the 98th time he had carried silk, and 96 of them were over the fences. He ran a couple of times on the flat, long enough ago that Don Meade rode him. Once he put a foot wrong at Laurel and fell, and that's the only time in 11 years he's been on the ground. Since there are from 12 to 18 jumps in each steeplechase, and Elk Ridge has to school as well, he must have risen to 1,500 fences. His batting average is .993. He has one big run, usually. The question is whether he or his jockey decides when to use it. Last year, Elk Ridge mostly had his way, and he had the same trouble as most jockeys do. He couldn't wait. He'd surge past his field in about three fences going down the backside, and then he'd tire and get caught. But in the Meadowbrook, he let Pat Smithwick run the show, and the run came when it counted. He came over the 14th fence, 10 lengths away from first place. In the press box, I thought, can't possibly do it. Just as Smithwick said to himself, mine for sure. Of course, he had a slight advantage. He could feel the rising wave of power under him. As you'd think, Miller and Elk Ridge have found their way around the infield together. They're pretty chummy. The owner can come to the stall and say, kiss me, and Elk Ridge will. But it's not on the level. First, he taught the horse to take a lump of sugar from between his teeth. So when Elk Ridge puts his puss up, it's not so much love as hunger. I'd better have some sugar, too, Miller says. He doesn't mind drawing a blank the first time. If there's no sugar the second trip, he'll nip. When the stable entourage goes out for coffee and donuts in the morning, they bring something back for Elk Ridge. Sweet rolls, donuts, or whatever. If it's sweet and doughy, preferably with jelly, it's for Elk Ridge. And when he's not racing, a child can handle him on a silk string. Miller's 11-year-old daughter galloped him last spring before he got down to fast work. He is, in fact, a pet. Probably the only reason he isn't allowed in the house at Camden is that in South Carolina it is considered proper, if not obligatory, to keep the house stuffed full of dogs. And so, when Elk Ridge gets one, as he doesn't too often now that the years are mounting, a mild cheer is raised in this corner. Couldn't happen to a nicer horse.
Well, December 27th at Tampa Bay, the $100,000 Gasparilla Stakes was won by Irish Jasper, a 2-year-old filly by First Defense. Bred in Kentucky by Mr. and Mrs. Robert E. Courtney Sr., Irish Jasper has posted 3 wins and 1/3 from 4 starts. She sprinted 7/8 and 1/22 and 2 to take the Gasparilla. That just missed the track record there by just 2/5 of a second. She broke her maiden in her career debut at Parks and went up to Aqueduct and ran 3rd in another good race. Then she recorded another win at Park, and then she won the Gasparilla. She's one of 7 2014 stakes horses by First Defense. The list that includes Close Hatches, winner of the in 2014 of the Grade 1 Ogden Phipps, the Grade 1 Apple Blossom, the Grade 1 Purse Linton, the Grade 2 Azari. She earned over $2.7 million, and she is a likely Eclipse Award winner. He's also the Sire Privet Hedge stakes winner this year in France, or last year, I should say. Chicago Stakes winner Pistols Drawn, a promising 2-year-old Tamburlaine. He's placed in group stakes in England and Ireland last year. Stakes placed 2-year-old Kazuri and Santa Anita placed Beach Hut. Grade 1 winner First Defense, Bonbridal Song, out of Grade 1 winner Honest Lady, a half-sister by Seattle Salute Empire Maker. stands for $10,000 live full at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Gary DeWalker and Fry and see the website at judmont.com. Well, Sam's sister, winner in the grade one $300,000 La Brea Stakes on December 26th, that was opening day at Santa Anita. That's the 28th grade one win for a horse raised on products from McCauley Brothers in 2014. That's 28 grade one wins out of 108 that they ran in 2014. And if my old Russell Cave school math is right, that's a winning percentage of just a little bit better than 25%. One in every four of those grade one wins were recorded by horses raised on McCauley products. Now, how they're raised on the farm is the single most important factor in producing runners. And the statistics prove that what they're raised on McCauley products, they're getting exactly what they need for maximum performance once they reach the races. The folks at McCauley Brothers are proud to count many of the world's finest horsemen among their clients. And the folks at McCauley Brothers want to wish all their friends a very happy new year. To learn more about the products of McCauley Brothers, call Mike Warren or David Longmire at 859-873-3333. See the website, McCauleyBros.com. And, of course, you're always welcome to stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, that's where it is all about the horse. And, incidentally, that Sam's sister was a grade one winner, was bred by Brereton C. Jones. Daily Racing Form Sunday Edition is now on your newsstand. That's the Sunday edition, but it's out already. John Sparkman has got a nice column in writing about Sam's sister. As I just remarked, was bred by Brereton C. Jones. It's by Brother Derek and won the Grade 1 La Brea Stakes. It's called A Requiem for Aladar. And that's John Sparkman. Of course, everybody enjoys John. Jay Hovday's got a nice column in there. He has, he always does. You know, it's absolutely, he's one of the best turf riders around today. And, their past performances are from Aqueduct and the Fairgrounds and Turfway Park and Gulfstream and Tampa Bay Downs. So, for in-depth breeding news, sales and auction coverage and a whole lot more, I would suggest that you check it out on dailyracingform.com/breeding. That's drf.com/breeding. And you can sign up to receive the Daily Racing Form Breeding update, your free email connection to Daily Racing Form Breeding. And so why don't you give them a call and sign up today. And also for exciting advertising and sponsorship opportunities, get in touch with my friend Fritz Wittemann. And Fritz is at 212-366-7639. And that's the Daily Racing Form. It's Racing Bible. And I don't see how racing could survive it without it, as a matter of fact. All righty. Well, we're going to go back to that CD that I recorded a few years ago, and I, for the life of me, can't remember what the third one is about, so...
Surprise.
So anyway, Sean, if you go ahead and play whatever's up next, we'll see what it is.
The next reading is called All Foals Day, and in this, Mr. Palmer writes about Ballot, who was a foal of 1904. He was a superior runner and a successful sire, but he's best remembered as the sire of the Dam of Calumet's famed stallion, Bull Lee. Bull Lee, 5 times the champion sire in North America, and the sire of numerous champions, including the great Triple Crown winner, Citation. All Foals Day. You will be told, if you ask, that the reason for having a universal birthday for thoroughbreds on January 1 is to avoid confusion, and that otherwise some candidates for the Kentucky Derby might not be eligible, not having reached their actual birthday by the first Saturday in May. This is merely pablum. The real reason is to keep horses from having birthdays. An exception was Man of War, described by his handler, Will Harbert, as the onlyest horse to have a birthday. It was, as of course you know, on March 29. I went to one of the celebrations and got nothing worse than champagne and happy Chandler. Mr. Chandler at the time, loved racing more than he loved baseball because he was governor of Kentucky and his electorate felt somewhat more kin to the one than to the other. But what with the champagne, it was not difficult to take. Man of War seemed a little surprised, but he bore up well. It was, in fact, quite a day. Brush Up, the Dam of War Admiral, dropped a filly that morning, a sister to Man of War's most successful son. Clem McCarthy fed the big red horse a wreath of carrots, which Suffolk Downs had sent down. The radio hookup got international, and Reginald and Bruce Hobbs, who had, respectively, trained and ridden another son of Man of War, Battleship, for his victory in the Grand National at Aintree, got on the air from England. There were two birthday cakes, probably ultimately eaten by the grooms at Faraway, because Man of War preferred to have his cake. Somehow, in one of the addresses, Man of War got mixed up with Henry Clay, though the connection was a little hard to follow. It was, so to speak, an affair. But the real blow to birthday parties for horses was dealt on January 1, 1937. You can hardly be expected to remember Ballot unless you were at Gravesend in 1906 when he won the Neptune Stakes, or at Newmarket when he won the Select Stakes in 1909. He sired some fair horses, including Tannery, which nearly broke Central Kentucky twice because he could beat anybody's horse at Lexington and nobody's horse anywhere else. When Tannery ran eighth behind Gallant Fox in the Kentucky Derby of 1930, most of the older families around Lexington began digging in the basement in the hope that there might be a few pieces of silver still buried there. Ballot lived to be 33. In his last year, he became the property of a feed company, which used him extensively for advertising purposes, though Ballot had grown up on plain hay and oats and had never previously met the prepared feed he was advertising. But it was a very good deal for the horse, because he got the best of care and more attention than he had had for some years. Ballot had actually been foaled on April 18, 1904, in observation of Paul Revere's ride. But because very few horses of registered breeds have reached their 33rd birthday, it was decided to celebrate Ballot's on the official date, January 1. This was done at Keeneland, and everyone concerned should have known better. This was no great while after the repeal of the Noble Experiment, and the distillers had not quite caught up with the demand. The beverage provided for the occasion had been allowed to cool before it was bottled, but that was about all. Even Kentuckians could not quite go against it in its raw state, and it was consequently contaminated with vermouth. The result was pronounced to be a Manhattan, though I doubt if Manhattan would have owned it. It was pretty far uptown. Humphrey Finney, who now helps the Phasic Tipton Company to sell horses at Saratoga, was scheduled to be the toastmaster, but he became ill, which was as sensible a thing as he ever did. The job devolved on Thomas R. Underwood, now senator from Kentucky, but then secretary of the Kentucky State Racing Commission. Senator Underwood is normally a sensible man, thoughtful and even cautious for a Democrat. But he allowed himself to be stampeded by a suggestion from one of the guests. He arose and proposed a toast to Ballot as a suckling. This was drunk with acclaim. Shortly afterward, a toast was proposed to Ballot as a weanling. The next one was to Ballot as a yearling. As noted, the horse was 33 years old, and to steal slightly from Mr. Kipling, a man cannot drink 35 toasts, since the suckling and weanling toasts were for a time when Ballot was 0 years old, in uptown Manhattan without remembering the pit from which he has been digged and descending thither. One of the celebrants was encountered last year while I was taking the children to the Museum of Natural History. I recognized him right away and went over and read the sign on the case. It said, despite certain discrepancies in dress, this mummy is believed to date from the time of the latter Ptolemy. Remarkably well preserved. Another of Ballot's guests brought off rather long odds and made it home. Late that afternoon, a friend stopped past on some trifling errand and rang the bell. As it chanced, the cook answered it. Is Mr. Blank here? He asked. Well, yes, said the cook, giggling a little. He's here all right, but that's all. That's absolutely all. The visitor, being a sensible man who did not have to be hit over the head with a church steeple, said, "Thank you, Lizzie," and went back down the walk.
That was Joe, classic Joe Palmer. Well, Invisor was represented by another stakes winner in December to close out 2014. Expression from Invisor's first crop won the $100,000 Garland of Roses stakes at Aqueduct. Expression is placed in two stakes at Belmont prior to her score in the Garland of Roses, and she's earned more than $364,000. She is what you might expect from a daughter of Invisor, tough, sound, and consistent. She's won 7 races. She's been on the board in 19 of her 25 starts. Alsace, also from the first crop by Invisor, won the Grade 3 Modesty Handicap, and she's placed in 3 more stakes. Among the 3, the Grade 1 Beverly D. She's earned over $331,000. Invisor was elected to Racing's Hall of Fame immediately upon becoming eligible. He was a great runner, acclaimed number 1 in the world as a 4-year-old, and a Horse of the Year on 2 continents. He stands for $4,000 live foal at Shadwell Farm, home also of Albertus Maximus, De Hare, and Interdab. Inquiries to time manager Ken Barnes at 859-224-4585, and see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
Want unlimited access to pedigree reports on more than 2 million foals for a low annual cost? Then Brisnet's American Produce Records is for you. Updated in real time and available on demand at brisnet.com/APR and optimized for tablet and mobile. The APR Online is the place for instant access to a wealth of information on North American thoroughbreds dating back more than a century. The annual price, $275. Visit brisnet.com/APR and discover why American Produce Records has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations and why new generation is using APR Online.
Well, congrats out 18 2-year-old winners in 2014. 7-1 are placed in stakes. Among the 7, undefeated Jacaranda, winner of the Grade 3 Tempted in New York. Temperament Patty, winner of stakes at Belmont. She goes in a stakes race today. And Top Decile, second in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly Stakes, and also in Keeneland's Grade 1 Alcibiades. Congrats, you may recall, was the nation's number 1 freshman sire on his first crop at the races. In fact, he's the only son of A.P. Ennie to rank number 1 on the freshman sire list, and with his first Kentucky crop of 2-year-olds to race in 2014, he was the number 1 ranked son of A.P. Ennie on the juvenile sire list. Or for that matter, he's number 1 from the A.P. Ennie sire line. Congrats, 2014 sales yearlings averaged $101,536. He covered 117 mares in 2013 and 137 mares last year, two of his biggest and highest quality books to date. He stands for $35,000 doing a full stands and nurses at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Darren Fox, Sean Tugel, or Kyle Wilson at 859-873-1717. See the website at windstarfarm.com. All right, we're going to go back again to the CD that I recorded a few years ago of columns written by the late Joe Palmer. And I don't know what's coming up next, but we're going to find out right now. So, Sean, if you'll go ahead with it.
Myrtlewood and Al Sab are featured in this one. Myrtlewood was a foal in 1932. She was a champion sprinter and a champion handicap mare. During her career, she set 5 track records. She was a great producer, ancestress of dozens of stakes winners, including a Triple Crown winner and Great Sire Seattle Slough. Al Sab was a champion 2-year-old in 1941 and a champion 3-year-old in 1942. The title of this one is The Importance of Having a Grandmother. Some seasons back, the racing commissioners were having a convention at Detroit. The wife of one of the delegates thoughtlessly had a birthday right when everybody was busy, and her husband, being barred by circumstances from shopping around, perforce gave her money for a present. This was shortly after lunch at the racetrack. The husband then became involved in several ill-advised investments, and a few races later appeared in a tearing hurry and barred it back, remarking that Myrtlewood couldn't lose. It seemed to this onlooker a mischancy business, even aside from the glint which appeared in the lady's eye, For the field included Azucar, which had won the Santa Anita Handicap, and Seabiscuit, which was going to a little later. But Myrtlewood, with Pudgy George South in the saddle, dusted them all off handsomely, setting in track record for a mile and a 16th. Well, remarked the lady, counting her money again with what looked to me like an air of finality, it's the first time I ever had a birthday by three lengths. The husband, if you care to pursue this further, ultimately got himself elected to Congress, showing, I suppose, that there is a tide in the affairs of men. But Myrtlewood was nearly the fastest bit of horse flesh of her time, and a beautiful filly, too, neat and graceful and feminine. However, Brownell Combs, who bred and raced her, always kept a nice sense of balance. He never thought much more of her than the other members of his family, except on the days when she was racing. This shows that there is a limit to sentiment about horses, even in Kentucky, because nobody else in the family could have warmed Seabiscuit up. Myrtlewood won 9 stakes, but perhaps the apex of her career came in the fall of 1935, when she ran 2 special races against Klang, which still holds 2 world records for 6 and 7 furlongs, unless you count time taken in California. Both races were at 6 furlongs, and the horses were never more than a head apart at any stage of either race. Myrtlewood won the first by nose in 1:10-4, and the second went to Klang by the same margin in 1:09-1, a world record. Each carried 110 pounds, which meant that Myrtlewood was giving up her sex allowance. Myrtlewood ran another special the following year against Miss Merriman, which had been considered the best filly in the East. The race was doubly notable, first because this partisan bet more on Myrtlewood than he ever did on a horse race before or since, and second because there wasn't any purse. Keeneland didn't have any money for a special race then, so Combs and John Hay Whitney, who owned Miss Merriman, ran them just to see which was the better. Miss Merriman was a little past her best form, and Myrtlewood won rather easily. Myrtlewood is an aging matron now, and among her daughters are Miss Dogwood and Durazna, which, while neither was as good as her dam, were solid stakes winners in their own right. But her first was a disappointment. This was Crepe Myrtle, by the crack Equipoise, and a great deal was hoped for her. But Crepe Myrtle was never very sound. Her ankles were a little soft, and she won only one important race. Combs finally decided that nothing more could be done with her, and she went into the stud. While all this was going on, Thomas Pyatt, also of Lexington, had bought a mare for $90 out of the tail end of a cheap sale, and had mated her with Good Goods, an inconsiderable member of the Brookmead stable in the high days of Cavalcade and High Quest. There was no reason to look for much out of this combination, and the result sold for $700 at Saratoga. The result was named Al Sab. He won $350,015 against such competition as Shutout and Whirlaway. Well, not to drag it out, Crepe Myrtle was the daughter of the most distinguished parent, and she failed on the track. Al Sab had a very ordinary breeding background and proved one of the best horses of his day. And so the two were mated. It seemed, now that we're second-guessing, a wise choice, for Al Sab had the bone and the indestructibility to make up for any weakness in the dam. The result of this mating, a bay filly bred in partnership by Brownell and Leslie Combs, appeared on May 19, 1946, as Leslie Combs' Spendthrift Farm. She appeared again more than a year later in the sales ring at Keeneland, and Mrs. Elizabeth Graham paid $27,000 for her. This filly, named Myrtle Charm, got her winter lessons at Columbia from Jimmy Smith, who does not like to hurry horses, and it was not until early August that she was produced at Washington Park in a maiden race. She was ridden by Tony Skoronski, who does not hold the Snapper Garrison school of riding. She smothered a somewhat undistinguished field in a half mile, but Skoronski let her keep on running, and she won by 8 lengths. The next appearance was at Saratoga against a really good field, including Gaffrey, Lady Dormah, Fond Embrace, and others, in the 6 furlong spinaway. Skoronski had been brought along for the ride, and he got Myrtle Charm to the front after a quarter mile. In the upper stretch, she was five lengths in front. But possibly Skoronski doesn't like to hear horses running behind him. He let her go. She won by 12. When the matron came up a month later at Belmont, Ted Atkinson had the mount. He broke her flying and then stated her. And when he passed the furlong pole three lengths in front, he took a hole and she won by 3.5, running the 6 furlongs down the chute in a handsome 1-10-3. The matron, as you probably know, is the filly's futurity, and it was worth $37,805 to the winner. This put a 4-pound penalty on Myrtle Charm for the futurity a week later, and she carried 123 pounds. The customers at Belmont made her odds on, but most horsemen thought that Blue Peter, which had a similar penalty and carried 126 pounds, could take her. This proved correct. The two were always with the first flight, and after Olympia had spent himself with a half mile in 44-1, it was a two-horse race. Myrtle Charm made a desperate bid at the colt in the last furlong, and for a few yards it seemed she might get him. But he held on and won by half length. It was 7 lengths back to the next horse.
All right. Well, Paddy O'Prada was an Eclipse Award finalist as a three-year-old. Runs in the family. His half-sister, Untappable, is an Eclipse Award finalist this year. She won, in addition to the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Distaff, the Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks at Churchill, scene of Paddy O'Prada's game placing in the Kentucky Derby. Untappable excels on the dirt. Paddy O'Prada, he could run on anything. He demonstrated that by his performance in the Grade 1 Kentucky Derby, as dirt, of course, by winning the Grade 1 Secretariat Stakes on the grass, and by placing in the Grade 1 Bluegrass Stakes on artificial. He is the most versatile son of Cyrus Isles El Prado. He won 5 graded stakes, earned $1,721,297. Paddy O'Prada and Untappable are out of the graded stakes winner Funhouse. She earned over $432,000, and this is a family of dozens of major stakes winners, among them Tapazar, winner of the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. Paddy O'Prada has the numbers in his favor. He covered 444 mares in his first 3 seasons at stud. He stands for $9,500 due in the full stanza nurses at Spendthrift Farm. Call Des Dempsey, Brian Lyle, or Mark Toothaker. The number is 859-294-0030. Always ask about breeding incentives and see the website, SpendthriftFarm.com.
Sally Van are across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally Van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
All righty. I've got Steve Moody with me, and he does the Gulfstream Handicapper sheet now. And, of course, that's published by Bloodstock Research Information Services. And he's going to give us the winner of the Grade 3 Old Hat down at Gulfstream today. Good morning, Steve.
How you doing, Axel?
Doing good. Did I wake you up?
No, I just walked in the door, actually.
Oh, okay. Now, sound like you're puffing and blowing.
Well, that's carrying groceries in.
Oh. Okay, well, who's going to win that thing down there today? I know they're running a bunch of stakes, but we have time. We don't have a whole lot of time, about 3 minutes, so squeeze what you can for the two graders.
All right, well, the first one on the card is the Old Hat. That's a Grade 3 for 3-year-old fillies. And, of course, this one sort of starts out the fillies that are maybe looking to head toward the Kentucky Oaks down the road. Never know. Field of 8 going in this race. And the one thing that stands out about this race, Ursula, is this loaded with speed. Everywhere you look, the one horse, Fashion Alert, the 5, Concealed with a Kiss, the 6, Temperament Patty, the 7, Ikati's Phaeton. So there's a load of speed in here. I think the race is set up for something that can rate a little bit and then try to run down these dueling front runners. I went on to the 3 horse, R, Sassy Lass. This horse has really come on in her last couple of starts. She she had a maiden win at there at Gulfstream, and then went over to Tampa Bay, won the Sandpiper Stakes over there, coming from off the pace. Kirk Ziotti trains her, and he's just had a banner year. He's winning at about 26%, I believe, and 28%, excuse me. And I think he's going to have this this one ready to go. She's got the right running style, and I'm going to give her a little bit of an upset chance. She's 5-1 in the morning line, and the way this race sets up so well for her, I'm going to give her the nod here. The favorite, Fashion Alert from the Pletcher Barn, probably the horse to beat. She's 2-for-2 in sprint tries, and the one to beat. But she's a front runner, and she's going to face pressure from the start of the race to the end. So could soften her up in 7-5. I'm willing to take a stand against her. The 7 horse, Ikati's Phaeton, another one that figures to show some speed, could hang around and get part of it. But we're going to go against the front runners, take the horse with some tactical ability, our Sassy Lass, 3-1-7 in the old hat.
Okay. You got time for the Dania Beach?
Let's see.
You got about 2 minutes.
All right. That's the 7th race. The Dania Beach, another grade 3. This is for 3-year-olds, going 7.5 furlongs on the turf. Field of 10 in here. And the Ramseys have a stranglehold on this race with three Kittens of Joys in here. Wayward Kitten, Smoke'em Kitten, and Crown the Kitten.
Whole herd of cats.
I went to one of those, the bottom horse, Crown the Kitten. He was a good second, first time out to Sunset Glow in his maiden race. Sunset Glow has come out of that, and he won a couple of graded stakes races. Crown the Kitten, after the maiden, went to Ascot. Didn't run all that well there, but, you know, wasn't bad. Came back to the United States and has posted 2 wins for Wesley Ward. He's going to be running at the end. Joel Rosario has the mount. Another one that's, I'm sort of shocked at the price, 8-1. I get that. I'll take that all day. And I think the other two Ramsey horses could be in right in the hunt, a Wayward Kitten and Smoke'em Kitten. Matter of fact, I picked them 1-2-3 for the Kitten's Joy sweep. So we're going to go 10-6-5 in the Dania Beach.
10-6-5. Okay. All right, Steve, thank you so much. Listen, you can pick up that Gulfstream Park handicapper sheet. Just go to brisnet.com, BRISNET.com, and you got the 1-2-3 for the Kitten's Joy in the Dania Beach. All right, Steve, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right, Erson.
All righty. All right, well, let's see. Since last week's show, we have had 9 winners, starting one at Hialeah, believe it or not. Matt Frazier left here with some trained quarter horses here for the last several months and took serve of the wind down and won a race, quarter horse race down at Hialeah. Let's see, then Luis Jurado had a winner and had another winner the next day on the 27th and the 28th. Marco Castaneda saddled a winner, so did Ted Lucas. Arnolfo Rangel saddled one. Had 3 last night at Turfway, Tracy Young, Floyd Cobb, and John O'Meara. So congratulations to all. That's very good. Sorry that we didn't do a whole lot in that second hour, but I think we'll be well by next week for sure. We're on at the regular time next week, and that music means it's time to spit out the bit. Thanks for listening, and we'll be on from 10 to 12 next week.